Okay, praise the Lord. You know, for over many, many years now, I used to fast 3 days at the end of December and hear from the Lord just what God wants to bring it out just through me. There are so many thousands of prophetic voices all across the globe, but what God wants to talk to me. So I went through couple of days before, and I had checked on 2015, 2016, and 2017, I was so amazed. For example, 2014, the Lord spoke to me, I'm bringing a shift in the White House, right? So we begin to ask the Lord, and the Lord brought a shift, praise the Lord. And then in 2015, he gave me several things that really came to pass in different nations, actually. So, for example, I can give you one. In October 2008, I was in my flight was delayed, and the Lord spoke to me. I was in the airport. He said, "That's going to be a great earthquake in Pakistan. Great earthquake in Pakistan." He gave me the date, though. It's amazing. In October, such and such date, in that year, that's going to be a great earthquake. That is the beginning of the shaking of Islam in Pakistan. And I was like, wow, is it God really been speaking to me about Pakistan? You know? Lo and behold, exactly the same day, Pakistan had the largest earthquake in the history. Then I begin to become serious. When God begins to talk, I didn't take it for granted. So I begin to process it in prayer and begin to share it with those people. So 2015 December, God spoke to me that North and South Korea will be united. Okay? At that point, I don't know the prophecies about North and South Korea. I was like, okay, Lord, is it really you, you know? So it is going to happen. Do you know North and South Korea is forming an Olympic team together? Isn't it amazing? So after this, the Lord spoke to me. I was in Korea, literally. I was transiting through Korea into Hong Kong. So I was praying for this word. And I went to Hong Kong. I met an American couple there. They are ministering in North Korea under disguise, you know. And they told me they came especially because of God spoke to them that North and South Korea is going to be united. A lot of prophecies. There have been a lot of prophecies over it. Now we are seeing, we are slowly progressing toward the unity of North and South Korea. It's going to be a tremendous release of power. You know, my prayer is South Korea should... You know, the prayer movement from South Korea should influence North Korea. South Korea should not get complacent, you know. They should not get happy and become lukewarm because there's no more threat from North Korea, you know. That's my prayer now, because always, you know, we just go back into lukewarmness when there's no threat or anything. So that's my prayer. And the Lord spoke to me that, this is what the Lord spoke to me last year, 2016. He said, this will be the year, great year for America. The dollar will increase. America will have greater influence in the world. At that point, we did not know Trump is going to come or whatever, but Trump came. And amazingly, this year, American dollar has increased into incredible levels. It's strongest ever now. And we see the greater influence of America came back to the world. You know, when I went to Israel a couple of years back when Obama was in the presidency, when we say from America, oh, America. America lost its name, its honor, its respect, everything. But now, after Trump came, when you go to Israel, even the Arab people, oh, you're from America. God has brought back the America's greatness back to the world. Praise the Lord. And the Lord spoke to me 2017. Japan will see a turnaround. Markets will thrive. You know. I'm just giving a little bit of a background so that I'm going to go in further. Japan will see a turnaround and markets will thrive. Guess what's happening? It's incredible thing is happening when Prime Minister Netanyahu went to Israel just this week. Guess what's happening? God is using India to connect Japan and Israel. To bring all this technology from Israel to Japan through India. So guess what happens when they get aligned with Israel? The markets are going to turn around in Japan in an incredible way. And the Lord spoke to me not when it's going to be a market turnaround, it's going to be a spiritual turnaround in Japan. Guess what's happening? There's an amazing move of God is happening in Japan. Just one church planted 17 churches, house churches in Japan. When I was in Australia, the mother church is in California, Hawaii. Hawaii, not California. 17 churches they planted. So God is just moving incredibly in the nations. And also Lord spoke to me, the violence in Indonesia will cease. There's a lot of violence. It's not much here in the news this side, but there's a lot of violence, tribal violence. Killing of Christians is going on. God said violence in India will cease. Indonesia will see a revival. It's going to happen. Amen? So it's all happening. It's everything the Lord was speaking is beginning to happen. But one thing we need to do is we got to contend still. Some of the things that God spoke to me about America is the final revival, healing revival is going to come. It's not yet happening, but the problem is we don't contend for the prophetic words. Amen? So I just wanted to remind you of those things. But this year the Lord gave me a couple of things which I'm going to share with you. I'm excited because this is going to be a good year. Amen? It's going to be a good year. It's a general consensus. It's going to be a good year. It's going to be the greater glory year. It's going to be the year of acceleration. These are all common prophetic words that has been going around. And I believe so. It's going to be a good year for those who believe and trust in the Lord. Amen? Wonderful. So one thing I wanted to really bring into your attention so that you can contend in your daily prayers. As I told you, the Lord is going to release a healing revival into this land. But God gave a timing for that. God gave a timing for that. For example, what happened was in 2013, when we were in Christ for the Nations, I don't know if you guys were there at that time, Voice of Healing Conference. At the time, Dutch Sheets and Bill Johnson, all of us were speaking there. So Dutch Sheets came and said, the greatest move of the healing revival is going to come to this land, but one thing it was stopping, which is going to be broken now. So the Lord, they were praying, Dutch Sheets and Chuck Pierce and all these people are crying out for revival into America. The Lord spoke to them, you're crying out for American revival, healing revival. It's going to happen soon because I'm judging something that stopped the healing move. So the Lord spoke to them, go back 40 years from 2013, approximately 2013 is 73. 73 was the year abortion was legalized in America. Abortion was legalized in America. Just few months before the abortion, Gordon Lindsay, who was the founder of Christ for the Nations and the Voice of Healing Movement, God took him away. And the healing move ceased in America, 1973. But God said, I'm judging abortion in 40 years, which is 2011, 2013. Then I will release the healing revival, the final revival, great awakening back to this land. Guess what? It's happening. God is judging abortion. The pro-life movement is taken into next level. The president has addressed the pro-life movement, which is amazing. So get ready. They're going to see the healing revival. And this is the first ever time that the abortion is the lowest ever for decades in this country. Hallelujah. Amen. So we are going to see a healing revival. It's going to be an amazing, powerful time. So we got to pray though. We got to pray. Amen. It's going to be a good year. Financially, it's going to be good. It's going to be a great year. But always remember three things. The Lord spoke to me. Three things don't forget. You got to keep in mind when the finances are increasing. We got to sow. We got to get rid of debt. And we got to save. Right? Because there are good years. Praise God. Trump is there. I don't know how many years it's going to be good. So when there's going to be good years, we always try to spend everything. It's American stuff is spending, right? We all know. But you guys are different, praise the Lord. You guys are different. But God spoke to me that if you don't do these three things in this season of financial increase, we will be suffering. We'll be suffering. Amen? And I'm going to finish with the four types of sowing. I'll finish with that. But the Lord spoke to me that it's going to be good year. Beginning now, it's going to be good year financially. Amen? So that means we got to expect something happening later. So we got to contend for those things. The final thing we need to do is to contend for the redemptive purpose of America. Amen? Still, the redemptive purpose of America is not yet fulfilled. So every nation has a redemptive purpose. So we need to pray, we need to contend for the redemptive purpose of America. So these are all God has been giving to me to tell the intercessors so that they can contend on a daily basis. Amen? And Israel, before coming to the individual people, individually what God is going to do for us, I'm going to go touch Israel. We all know Israel is celebrating the 70th anniversary in 2018 after independence. But this year is the 70th year after Israel was ordered to be established a nation in the United Nations, November 29, 1947. So this is the 70th year, technically, when they announced it can be re-established. But next year is literally the 70th year. So Jeremiah 29:10 is key for us, for many of us. Jeremiah 29:10, it says, at the end of the 70th year, I will break the captivity and I will perform my good words. I will perform my good words to you. I will perform my good words to you. That's the word of the Lord. 70th year, I will perform my good words to you. So whatever the Lord has prophesied, has promised prophetically, it's going to happen, and we are seeing happening in the 70th year for Israel. It's unbelievable things are happening. Israel is beginning to lead the technology and all these countries are joining. But in the 70th year, what is the good word that God is going to perform for Israel? That's what we are going to see, and I'm going to move on. Zechariah chapter 12. Zechariah chapter 12. You know, I'm sharing this because people who are connected with this, they're all prayer warriors for Israel. So we need to know prophetically what to contend for. Zechariah chapter 12, verse 1. I'm going to read it out of NLT version. This message concerning the fate of Israel came from the Lord. This message is from the Lord, who stretched out the heavens, laid the foundations of the earth, and formed the human spirit. So this message is from the Lord, the fate of Israel. Verse 2. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of drunkenness to all the surrounding peoples when they lay siege against Judah and Jerusalem. So this happened in 1967, when surrounding nations came against Israel. They were all, you know, thousands and thousands of armies came against Jerusalem and attacked them, but God gave them tremendous victory and Jerusalem became the United Capital. So that happened in 1967, but the third verse is happening right now. So Zechariah is being fulfilled in front of our eyes. It says, on the day I will make Jerusalem an immovable rock, all the nations will gather against it to try to move it, but they will only hurt themselves. So this is the timeline we are in. Zechariah 12:3 is happening now. It will also might happen in tribulation time. But now it's happening. The whole world is divided. When Trump declared that Jerusalem is the capital, we're going to move the embassy, when he recognized it, everything in the spiritual realm begin to accelerate. There's a domino effect. That's incredible spiritual implication that's there when he declared it. So what is happening here? God is bringing Jerusalem to the limelight now. It's preparing, its final preparation is on before Jesus comes and takes up the throne. Amen? So Zechariah 12:3 is happening. Not only that, Zechariah 9 is happening at the same time. So we all need to understand, since it's all happening in front of our eyes, that means the time of acceleration is here. We got to be prepared for his coming like never before. Amen? Zechariah chapter 9, verse 13. So Jerusalem has come to the next level now. Judah is my bow, and Israel is my arrow. God is talking about the end time weapons of God. Judah is my bow, and Israel is my arrow. Look what, Jerusalem is my sword. So Jerusalem is God's sword. It's the offensive weapon that God is going to use in the end times to fulfill his purposes in the end time plans of God. Jerusalem is my sword and like a warrior. Amen? And I will brandish it against the Greeks. Here it is, Gentiles, the nations which do not believe in God of Israel, who is working against Israel. God said, I'm going to use Jerusalem as my sword. Amen. So he is lifting up in front of our eyes. Zechariah 9 is happening as soon as the Trump declared it. Amen. Hallelujah is bringing it back. He is bringing back Jerusalem. He is bringing up Jerusalem because that's the place where Jesus is going to rule and reign. So what is the implication? The implication number one is Aliyah is going to increase. Regathering of the Jewish people is going to increase from east and west, north and south. I want to read Zechariah chapter 10. Verse 9 to 10 is beginning to happen. Zechariah chapter 10, verse 9 to 10 is beginning to happen. Though I have scattered them like seeds among the nations, they will still remember me in distant lands. They and the children who survive are returned against Israel. I'll bring them back from Egypt and gather them from Assyria. I will resettle them in Gilead and Lebanon until there is no room for them all. Wow. That means that's going to be a mass exodus from America. It's going to happen from across the globe. So if the Jews are going to leave America, you got to be prepared because some shakings might be happening. Amen. Without shakings, the Jews won't move. It happened in Europe. Right? So it's happening in front of our eyes. So why I'm telling this? We got to be prepared. We got to be prepared in prayer. We got to be prepared in position because God is doing it. And he never does anything without he telling to the prophets. We are all prophets of God as we believe in Jesus. Amen? Zechariah chapter 10, verse 9 to 10 is happening. So that's on the physical side. On the spiritual side, it's going to happen now with Zechariah 12, 10. Zechariah 12:10 is going to happen for the Jewish people. Then I will pour out a spirit of grace and prayer on the family of David and on the people of Jerusalem. They will look on me whom they have pierced and mourn for him as for an only son. It's going to be a mighty outpouring, and I will pour on the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. It is beginning to happen. It's going to begin to happen quickly. This is what the Lord spoke to me while I was in Jerusalem for 3 months, like the 2017. He said, every day pray across Jerusalem, all cities, and pray in tongues and declare this verse. Because it's specifically written, he's going to pour out the spirit of grace upon the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem. There's a difference. It's not upon all Israel. It's upon the inhabitants of David and Jerusalem. Why? There's a reason. All these people, Orthodox people, they all go to their intercessors. 24-7, they go and pray. If the spirit of supplication comes upon them, what will happen? Amen? For the house of David and inhabitants of Jerusalem, it's going to be incredible release into them. Chapter 13, verse 1, Zechariah. In the day a fountain shall be opened for the house of David and for the inhabitants of Jerusalem. It's going to be a fountain. Again, you see, inhabitants of Jerusalem and house of David. So we are in the prophetic time of the gathering of the Jewish people and outpouring on the spirit of God over the Jewish people. At the same time, Joel 2:28 is going to happen. Joel 2:28 is going to happen. Which is, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. You know, people don't understand that the book of Joel, the Jewish Bible has 4 chapters of Joel, but our Bible has only 3 chapters. They split the 3rd into 4th chapter in the Jewish Bible for a reason. You know why? Do you know when the outpouring is going to begin? That's what they see in verse 3, chapter 3, verse 1 of Joel. Chapter 3, verse 1 of Joel. For behold, in those days and at that time, when I bring back the captives of Judah and Jerusalem, see again. The connection, it's not about all Israel. It's about Judah and Jerusalem. And God is bringing back the captives back to Judah and Jerusalem, which is the biggest warfare area. Then I'm going to pour out my spirit upon all flesh. So this is happening in front of our eyes. Amen? So prophetically, we are aligning with the time exactly when it's going to happen. Joel chapter 4 in the Jewish Bible is talking just about Aliyah and the outpouring. So what is triggering? Because the Bible tells, therefore, thereafter I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Something is happening. What it is? It's the gathering of the Jewish people back to Judah and Jerusalem, not just all Israel. Amen? So we are in the time that these are all accelerating as Trump declared it. Amen? It's happening in front of our eyes. It's going to be a mighty revival in Israel. So when you pray, pray in these lines. Pray for the grace and supplication to be poured upon the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Amen? And pray for the mass aliyah. We got to pray. Without a prayer, nothing happens. And pray for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon all flesh. So we got to pray. That's the reason God has given the Bible for us to pray. Unless we contend, it's not going to happen. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So now I'm so excited because I'm going to come to individually what God is trying to bring it to pass in our life beginning this year. I'm so excited. Amen? Because I believe we are in an incredible season where there's going to be a clear-cut difference between those who believe and follow Jesus. You know, when Jesus was on the ground ministering in the earth, multitudes came to see Jesus. Multitudes came to the meetings. But the problem is, not everybody followed. There are three groups of people that came to Jesus. Multitudes. The first group that came to just see the miracles, signs and wonders, have a wonderful time, you know, enjoy the miracles. That's what they are for. They just came to see the miracles, get the multiplication, all this stuff. The second group came to just criticize him. Just to criticize him, just to question him. That's what the reason they came. But the third group, who are very few, they were the only ones that's following Jesus. That's the same thing happening in the Christendom. Many people go to church just to get a tick. So God is going to bring a complete separation between those who are following Jesus full-heartedly. It's going to be a black and white. They can clearly see. These people are blessed. These people are blessed. Their people are living in health. Their people are living in such a breakthrough. Though they all go to church, one group of people will be going up and up and up. God is going to bring a complete difference. Amen? So the Lord spoke to me, this year we are going to see beginning of the release of the greater glory. Greater glory into the church. Greater glory. So we need to understand there's anointing, there's glory, and then it's ultimate glory. Amen? We are in the season of anointing. We are moving into greater glory. That's what we are moving into. That means we need to know what is glory. Okay? Actually, I'm going to teach a school on position yourself for the glory revival. Coming glory revival. Coming glory revival. You know? So, what is glory? Okay? So, we need to know what is glory. I don't have time to teach that. But what is glory? We need to know what is glory. There will be a mighty outpouring across the globe. That means it's going to be very different from this year. The things that we have been doing day in and day out is going to shift. It's going to shift. Because when the move comes, everything is going to shift. It's not going to be the same old anymore. It's going to be different. So we got to be prepared in our mind. We got to be prepared for the things of the Lord to flow through us like never before. Because when the glory comes, it's not like one man bringing a revival. It's going to be working through you and me. So that means when you walk to a grocery store, it's not going to be the same anymore. Because if a demonic person is walking by your side, it's going to manifest. Because the glory is operating through you. You're all carriers of God's kingdom, right? It's going to the next level of greater glory. It's not going to be the same. You're going to go to the gas station, you just mind your business and come out. It's not going to be the same. If the cashier is going to be, you know, manifesting when you enter there, what are you going to do? You got to be prepared. Many of them don't know even how to cast the devils out. It's going to manifest. You remember when Jesus, the moment the devil saw Jesus, he was manifesting. That's what is going to happen. Right? When you're going to a mall, you just walk by a wheelchair person, you don't even care. Now, it's not going to be the same. You're going to walk by a wheelchair, suddenly it's going to rise up. Because you're there. Remember the Peter of shadow, that the shadow of Peter was healing. That is going to happen. Are you prepared for it? Are you prepared for it? Because the Bible tells the name of the Lord will be feared from the east and the west and the north and the south. Why? Because such a powerful demonstration through you and me. So we got to be prepared. People are not prepared. The churches are not preparing people for that kind of move. It's what God is waiting. So greater glory is coming. Amen? And the Lord said, my son, my people will see my lavish love. You know, the Bible tells in Timothy, Paul says, in the end times, there will be no love. Right? Because there's lack of love among the human beings, which is lacking in the Muslim world, which is lacking even in the contemporary Western culture. The love is lacking. It's going to grow colder and colder. God says, when human love is going to be colder and colder, I'm going to release my lavish love. Hallelujah. That's going to bring multitudes into the kingdom of God because of the love. It's going to be a lavish love. Of course, you know, God doesn't have any scarcity for love. He is love. Amen? And then the Lord said, my son, there will be a tsunami of faith arising. Tsunami of faith. Do you know what is tsunami? We all know tsunami, right? The tsunami of faith arising. It's contradicting to the word of Jesus. Jesus said, when I come back, will I find faith? Right? Did he say that? Mm-hmm. He said, when I come back, will I find faith? But we are not in the coming back season as he's going to literally come. We are in the coming back season where he's going to take up the church. That's different time zone. During tribulation, he might not find any faith. But now God is telling there's going to be a tsunami of faith arising. Without faith, glory cannot move. Amen? It's going to be a wealth transfer time. Without faith, nothing going to move. So God says, I'm going to bring a tsunami of faith arising. That's the final third vision that Smith Wigglesworth saw. He saw the marriage of the word and power and the move of the Holy Spirit, the faith arising, everything marrying, all the moves that has been waves coming into Christianity, everything marrying together at the end. That's what we're heading up to. It's going to be a tsunami of faith arising. Are you excited? Hallelujah. Amen? Then he said, there will be a deluge of financing. Deluge? Then there will be a deluge? Right? Deluge of finances coming to my people. Do you know what this deluge means?
No.
Flood. It's a flood. Amen? Hallelujah. It's going to be a flood of finances coming into the people. Are you prepared? You know? God gave me a series of messages while I was in Dallas. So how to prepare for financial wealth transfer. At that point, I was like, what? I didn't understand anything when he gave, but I wrote it down. I taught to my people. Now it's making a lot of sense. So in the school of ministry, I'm going to teach how to be prepared for wealth transfer. Amen? So God said, there's going to be a deluge of finances coming to my people. Are we ready? Right? Are we ready? It's going to be a deluge of finances, just influx of finances. You know, there's been a lot of teaching about everything is crashed down, everything is going down, everything is going down, 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 down. It might happen. You know, every time God is going to bring an increase, if you're not prepared to steward it, if the body of Christ is not prepared to steward it, what's the point for him to bring a wealth transfer? Then everything goes down. So we're not going to talk about it's going to down. We are going to train the people to steward it properly. Amen? Because we are in the season of incredible acceleration. It is the final move of God before his coming back. So we need a lot of money to propel the gospel, to move from one place to one place. We need a lot of money to propel the kingdom. So we are talking about bailing out nations. Amen? So everything is coming back to the church. Everything was, church was doing everything. Church was taking care of the poor. Church was taking care of any disaster comes. Church was everything. But it slowly perverted and went to the government. But God is bringing them back to the church now. To you and me. We are going to bail the nations out. We are going to bail everything out through the finances coming through us. So we got to be good stewards. So we got to be prepared for that. So why is God telling all these things? Not to say hallelujah, hallelujah, but we got to be thinking and going through the word of God to be prepared how to steward it. There are examples. How Joseph stewarded the amazing wealth transfer, right? How did Moses steward it? The amazing wealth transfer during the time when the Egyptians got all the gold given to the Israelites. How did they steward it? Amen? There are a lot of examples that we got to see and we got to work on it. Hallelujah. So I'm so excited. It's going to be incredible, incredible, incredible time. But the Lord spoke to me this year. The one thing that we all must do, begin to do in a higher rate or higher level is more thanksgiving, more praise, and more praying in tongues. It's very, very, very important. It's very, very, very important. See, the attitude of gratitude, it's very important. God is attracted to the grateful heart. I spoke about this in the New Year Eve service. But we just forget it. Just in the beginning of the year, we do a lot of thanksgiving. Lord, you thanked me. Thank you for keeping me safe in 2017. Thank you for doing this. Thank you for doing that. But we don't follow all through the year. Amen? So the God is attracted to the grateful heart. An attitude of gratitude, attitude of gratitude brings forth His presence and blessings. So God said, don't pray much anymore. I know what you need. You have been praying forever since your birth time, whatever you know. You want this, you want that, you want this, you want that. I know what you need. Begin to give me thanks more. Begin to give praise more. One of the things that's stopping the blessings is the lack of attitude of gratitude. So don't pray anymore. Lord, touch my husband, touch my wife. Begin to thank Him. Lord, thank you that you're touching my husband because I trust in your word. You said in your word that if I believe, even in household will be saved. I'm thanking you for that. I praise you for that. Amen? So even debts, thank Him for taking up all the debts because that's your word, Lord. Amen? Thank Him and praise Him more and more. The Lord said to me, I'm not able to answer my people because they're not thanking me. What did the Bible say in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6? Do not worry about anything. Make your request known to God with what? Thanksgiving, right? So we do a lot of requesting part of it, but we never thank Him that He's going to do it. So God said, be thankful, be praying more and more and more, praising more and more, and praying in tongues more and more. Amen. Why did God say be thankful more? Because 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2 says, in the end times, there will be all lovers of self and they'll be unthankful. So we are the opposite. The whole world is going to be unthankful, unholy, ungrateful, lovers of self, lovers of money, but we are going to be different. Amen? So we're going to be thanking more and more, and we're going to praise Him, and we're going to speak in tongues more and more and more. More and more like ever before, because we are in the time of acceleration, and devil knows the time is very short. So we got to be so tuned in the Spirit of God, so we know where we are going, where we need to go, where we have to go. Everything has to be made in alignment with the Holy Spirit, with the will of God. Otherwise, we will be losing a lot. We'll be losing it. That's how we act smart in the spiritual life. We don't need to fight for everything. You just ask the Lord what to do, and then just do it. Amen? Pretty simple. Hallelujah. Amen? And the Lord said, this is the year of... a multifold victory. For this I'm talking about the believers. This is going to be the year of multifold victory. What does it mean, multifold victory? Over the years, if you can just think of what happened to you, sometimes you got a tremendous victory or finances in one year, but your health was so bad. Some months, some years you have been, health was so good, financially you were so broke. Some years you had some finances were good, health was good, but your relationship and emotions were so bad. But God said, I'm going to give you multifold victory in every area of your life. Amen? Yes. So if He is telling that means we got to be praying and we got to be believing for it. Amen? It's going to be the year of multifold victory. It's going to be the year of turnaround. Turnaround for those who follow God, those who follow the ways of God. The Lord spoke to me in 2016. He said there's going to be these national disasters of inhuman proportions, which is already we are seeing happening. Inhuman proportions. But He said those people who walk in my ways, they will be protected. Walk in my ways. Unless we know the word of God, we cannot walk in His ways. So that means we got to spend more time in the word of God. Amen. This is going to be a year of turnaround. It's going to be a year of turnaround for many, many, many of us. Those who walk in His ways, those who trust Him, those who seek His kingdom of God first. It's going to be an incredible year of turnaround in many, many areas of our life. The Lord said this is going to be the year of taking down giants. Taking down giants. We have giants in our lives, certain giants which we have been fighting. You could not take him down. This is the set season to take the giants down. You know, Goliath was shouting against Israel for 10 days, right? But when the time came, God raised Goliath. Within a second, he was done. That's the season we are living in. That's the season we are beginning. This year, you will see, you will take some Goliaths down in your life. You're going to see the Goliaths taken down in the national level as well. Amen? The Lord spoke to me in 2016. I'm bringing a media transformation in India. I mean, in America. At that point, Obama was president, you know. We thought, when it's going to happen? We are beginning to see it's happening now. Hallelujah. Amen? Media transformation. That's going to be incredible transformation. It's happening. This is going to be the year of taking down giants. Some of the giants in your life. It might be finances, maybe health, whatever. It's going to be the year of taking down giants. Amen? And this year, as God is promoting you, as God is taking you to the next level, at the same time, there will be oppositions. Okay? When God is on the move, there's always the devil opposes it. But every opposition, you must look for a... Every opposition comes, that's going to be opportunities breaking through. So don't take the oppositions and just don't give up. If any opposition comes, that's the time God is going to break through in a fuller way with greater opportunities. Amen? It's applied to everything. You know, I was telling Sue the other day, because she just texted, oh, second stroke has come. I said, do not give up. You know, before sunrise is the darkest time. Right? Just before the sunrise, what happens? That will be the darkest time of the day. So we're going to see a breakthrough. So it's going to be a breakthrough. It's going to be a breakthrough. Some of the oppositions that we are going to face is going to release so many opportunities. Amen? So get ready. Get ready. It's going to happen. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Paul talks about it. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. He says, there's a wide open door for a great work here, and many people are responding, although many oppose me. So there's great opportunity, but there's great opposition. But he prevailed. He took it as an opportunity, all the opposition. And the Bible tells within 2 years, Paul reached the whole city of Ephesus. Think about this, within 2 years. According to the history of the church, it's almost 500,000 population within 2 years. But greater the opposition. But the opportunities. So that will be happening into our lives because God is taking us into the next level. The devil is also coming along because he knows the time is short. New level, new devil. So we got to be working along with God. Amen? So it's going to be a victorious year. It's going to be a breakthrough year. Amen? Finally, I wanted to finish with this. Many of us are being tithers, we have been doing all these things, but we are not able to see the blessings that we need to receive blessings. To the level we should see receive the blessings. I learned this, it's amazing truth. There are 4 kinds of giving. You know, we have been mixing and matching it differently, which has really liberated me. I'm seeing a lot of changes and shiftings coming even in my personal life. There are 4 things which got to be followed exactly what the Bible says. Number 1, we all know tithe. We all tithing. Tithing we give because of obedience to God's word. Right? Tithing is motivated by obedience. So tithing belongs to the storehouse. Tithing belongs to God. He devours. We know that story. We know that scripture. Malachi chapter 3 verse 10. So he is the rebuke. He rebukes the devourer when we bring it to the storehouse. But many of us, we have been giving tithes to human beings. To friends. To people who are lacking. Or into missions. That is not tithing. Tithing should go to the storehouse where you receive the spiritual thing or any other ministry that is you are close with, that's where the tithing should go. You cannot give it to human beings. That doesn't belong to human beings. So the tithe is of obedience to God's word. That is motivated by God's obedience. Amen? That's the reason we see attacks coming again and again when we are not tithing properly to the storehouse. God is not able to rebuke the devourer. We plead the blood, we do everything, but still the devil is attacking. This thing is breaking down, my body is sick, this and that, because the tithing is not going to the storehouse. It's been distributed to several places. That's not biblical. Okay? Then comes the first fruits. First fruits is telling its motivation is out of love, out of thanksgiving. Telling God, Lord, I don't love money, I love you. It's coming out of the increase. There are more than 31 references about first fruits. So first fruits comes from your increase. It's beyond the tithe. So that can go to a minister or to the church. Okay? That's what it means. It can go to a minister or it can go to a church or a ministry, whatever your first fruits. The church is last first fruits since the disciples left, the church completely left out of tithe, and mostly the first fruits was completely forgotten. So that's the reason we're not able to see the blessings, the level that God wants us to be blessed. So first fruits. Number three is alms, A-L-M-S. Giving to the poor. You cannot give the poor to the poor from your tithe. Giving to the poor should not be, how do we say? Jesus said, the right hand should not know the left hand giving to the poor. Giving to the poor should not be publicized. Nobody should know how much you are giving to the poor. But tithe and first fruits, you can propaganda all over the place. I am a tither. No problem, you can do it. I am a first fruits giver. No problem, you can tell it. But the alms to the poor, because it's a dignity issue. If you're going to a poor person, if you're going to tell everybody, I'm going to feed this poor, impoverished person in the whole world, it's kind of not good. That's what Jesus said, your right hand should not know what the left hand is giving to the poor. That's one of the reasons what we do in India, you guys, none of you know, except for our small group here. Nobody knows we are taking care of orphans in India, we are taking care of poor in India, we are taking care of the AIDS kids in India. Nobody knows publicly. We never publicize. You can never see a newsletter going out that we are blessing the poor people. We don't do that. Except for our interior circle, they know. Why Jesus said, do not alms is to be hidden. Amen. But the church, the whole television program is all about giving to the poor, publicizing. That's not biblical. So that's the reason we are not seeing the blessings. And finally comes the seed. Seed you cannot eat. You know, if you have a fruit, you can eat. But seed if you eat, it won't be nice. So seed is to be sown. Seed is apart from your tithe and first fruits and after the giving alms, that comes the seed. Seed can be sown to a person or to a ministry. That's how you get out of the debts. You cannot get out of the debts by giving tithe. That's the reason who are giving tithe, people are still in debt. They are tithers to the core. But still they have debt. Why? Tithing will not release you out of debt. Tithing will protect you. Tithing will rebuke the devourer. But seed is the one that will release you out of debt. Seed is the one that will bring the increase. Tithe will not bring increase. Tithe will keep you moving. One time the Lord spoke to me, everything in my kingdom happens through tithing. That's how my kingdom operates. That's what he said to me. The kingdom operates. The increase comes only through your seed giving, not through your tithing. Okay? Tithing is a starting point, that you are doing it by obedience. So we got to analyze all the scriptures. When you follow this, it's going to be an incredible release, incredible increase that's going to come into our lives. So one of the reasons God is releasing this kind of teaching, many of them are following it. Many of them are following it and they are seeing the blessings beyond anything. Amen? So remember this year, four areas that we need to be focused on while we are giving so that God can bring the increase. Tithing is because of obedience. First fruits is because you love God, not money. You're appreciating God for His increase alms is for the poor and the needy, and seed is for the increase. Seed should go where you plant a seed. You will plant a seed in a fertile soil. So you should plant a seed in a fertile place where it can multiply, where it can be fruitful for the kingdom of God. Amen? So I wanted to encourage you all that we are entering into an incredible season of increase and blessings. At the same time, there might be a lot of move of the enemy against us. We got to be prepared. And we got everything. We got the blood of Jesus. We got the name of Jesus. The whole heaven is backing you. Hallelujah. Amen. The devil's time is running out. So I wanted to encourage you all. This is going to be the year of breakthroughs and victories. Multifold victory. Greater glory. Year of turnaround. Year of taking down giants. It's all good. But give him thanks more. Praise him more. Speak in tongues more. Ask the Lord to fill him more. And move in his might and power like never before. Amen. The shofar says yes. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God.